Welcome to the Rap Soul Podcast, where we dive deep into the world of music that moves our hearts and gets our feet tapping. This is the intersection of rap and soul music from the 80s, 90s, and 2000s. We appreciate you for listening. Share this podcast with a friend or family member who loves music as much as you do. The podcast is hosted by 12 Kyle. Next up, the Rap Soul Podcast.
Welcome to another edition of the Rap Soul Podcast. I am your boy 12 Kyle. I want to thank you all for tuning in as you do each and every week. Again, this is the Rap Soul Podcast. This is the intersection where we have discussions about music, more specifically hip-hop, rap, soul, and R&B music from the 80s, the 90s, and the 2000s. Simply put, folks, this is the best music podcast that you've never heard until right now. Again, I want to thank you all for tuning in as you do each and every week. Shout out to those of you who are watching on YouTube. Man, check this out. On this episode, what I want to talk about is Tupac. More specifically, Tupac versus everybody. I don't need to tell you Tupac is no longer with us. He was tragically murdered in September of 1996. But before Tupac left this earth, you'd be hard pressed to find someone that would be on the fence about Tupac. And more specifically, if you ask someone what they thought about Tupac, it really depended on where they were or where Tupac was as to whether or not you liked him or you didn't like him. Case in point, Tupac, the early version of Tupac, where Tupac was a roadie and a dancer with the rap group Digital Underground, who actually put him on. We first heard him for the first time on the song Same Song. There's that version of Tupac. Then there was the revolutionary version of Tupac with his earlier albums. People know that version of Tupac. And then there was the Tupac, the Me Against the World Tupac, who he was right before he went to jail. And then there was the Tupac from the movies. That more specifically, there are a lot of people who thought that Tupac changed once he played Bishop in the movie Juice. And then there was Tupac, or who people thought Tupac was, once he got out of jail and teamed up with the crew from Death Row Records. And then obviously, like I said, he was unfortunately murdered in September of 1996. But I said all that to say this: no matter who you think Tupac was, almost everyone has an opinion on Tupac. Tupac was a man of many words. He did not hold his tongue. And what I'm going to read to you is something that I just found on the internet the other day. And what it is Tupac's last album that he recorded was the Don Caluminati album. And as many of you know, that album came out shortly after Tupac passed away. The Don Caluminati album, the Machiavelli album, if you will, the 7-Day Theory, which is an incredible body of work. I would suggest to all of you, if you have not heard the Machiavelli album, go listen to it. It is a listen, to say the least. But there was a difference between Tupac and his next to the last album, All Eyes on Me, the double CD that was on Death Row Records, and then the Machiavelli album. He branded himself as Machiavelli. He was no longer Tupac. I don't even think he referred to himself as Tupac on the Machiavelli album. But what I was able to see, and all of you can find this online, here recently, I came across some liner notes that appear to be written in Tupac's handwriting. And these were liner notes that he had submitted to go on the album. Now, let me explain something to you, particularly for those of you who are younger. Liner notes were the thing that, you know, we all would read to learn more about the artist and basically would be their shout outs on an album. Nobody does liner notes anymore because people don't make albums anymore. Everything's digital. I don't even know if people submit digital liner notes. But back in the day, fans like me would take to an album. And one of the first things that I would do, even before I started listening to an album, depending on who it was, I would read the liner notes. Well, upon this discovery, I was just searching the internet the other day and I came across this, and it said liner notes from the Machiavelli album. And so I go to read the liner notes, and these are liner notes, and they do appear to be in Tupac's original handwriting. They're not the shout outs liner notes that you are probably used to. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to read to you the liner notes, and in reading the liner notes, I'll stop and explain, particularly for those, because here's the thing. There are quite a few of you who may listen to this episode and you may not be familiar with the people that Tupac is describing. You may have heard some of these names. Some of these names may be foreign to you. So I want to kind of give you the breakdown as I'm reading these liner notes. And so it starts off Machiavelli, Columinati, 7-Day Theory. And he writes credits, C-R-E-D-I-T-Z. He said, I dedicate this to Jack the Snitch Agnet for ordering the hit. Let me stop here. Jack the Snitch Agnet is someone we know as Haitian Jack. Tupac alleged that Haitian Jack, who was, I think, a record promoter or a businessman at the time, and a street guy, set him up in the Quad City shooting that happened in New York City. As many of you know, Tupac was on his way to record at Quad City Studios. He saw Biggie and he saw Lil C's from Biggie's crew. He told Lil C's told him, say, hey, we're in this studio, whatever, come on up. And as legend has it, Tupac got on the elevator and was subsequently robbed and shot 6 times, which he survived. But Pac maintained for a long time, even after, getting out of the hospital, that Haitian Jack had something to do with it. So Haitian Jack that he's referring to is Jack Agnet, or as Pac calls him, Jack the Snitch. It goes on to Tut for shooting me. Now, I don't know who Tut is, but apparently maybe Pac thinks someone named Tut was the gunman who actually pulled the trigger. To Puffy, Biggie, Stretch, Lil Sean, Jimmy Henchman, and whoever else remained silent while quietly conspiring for my downfall, I thank you. Let me stop there. All of these people, obviously Puff Daddy, Biggie Smalls, Stretch was a part of, he was a member of the Live Squad. Jimmy Henchman was a businessman as well. All of these people were, I don't want to say that they were involved, because I don't know. And no criminal charges were brought against anybody who he's named thus far, but they all kind of ran in the same circles. And they, at some point in time, each of them had a very, very strong and tight relationship with Pac. So what he's basically accusing these people of setting him up and shooting him and plotting to kill him. And these used to be, at the very least, some associates. And I can't really call them his friends, but it's been well documented that Biggie and Pac had a very tight relationship prior to them falling out. More on that in just a second. All right. He goes on to say, the next person he speaks of, he says, I want to thank Faith for the greatest weapon ever, her low self-esteem and beat up pussy. Okay. What Tupac alleged was that he slept with Faith Evans, who at the time was Biggie's wife. I think they may have been estranged, but nonetheless, that was Biggie's wife. Even to this day, we don't know that it ever happened. But what we do know is that Faith did do a song with Tupac, and what was alleged, at the very least, there's legs to it. Now, we don't know, and we'll never know. And I don't know that Faith has ever come out and publicly said or admitted that something happened. She hinted that they were in the studio together and they did do a song together, but she never slept with Tupac. Tupac's no longer here to, actually back up those claims. But if you want a podcast where culture, conversation, and life collide, where you get insightful commentary, engaging discussions, and a fresh perspective on everything, then you need to listen to the 12 Kyle podcast, hosted by the one and only, yours truly, 12 Kyle, a voice that you know and trust. This podcast will bring you thought-provoking moments, compelling stories, and a whole lot of fun. Whether you're a first-time listener or just tuning in, each episode promises to be something new and exciting. So sit back, relax, Join 12 Kyle, myself, and my guests as we break down the world around us and give you stories that you've never heard before, from nostalgic throwbacks to everything in between. The 12 Kyle podcast is a front row seat to this conversation. Subscribe now and never miss an episode of the 12 Kyle podcast, where the vibe is always real and the discussion is always worth your time. Are you feeling nostalgic for the golden eras of rap and soul music? If so, tune in to the Rap Soul Podcast. We are your weekly journey through the 80s, 90s, and 2000s, spotlighting the music and the hidden gems that shaped the soundtrack of our lives. From the powerful beats to the soulful melodies, we bring you the best of the past with fresh insights and stories. Rediscover the music that defined a generation. Subscribe to the Rap Soul Podcast and enjoy the vibes. Nonetheless, at the very least, what's at play here is that Tupac alleged that he slept with Biggie's wife at the time where he and Biggie were adversaries. That alone would drive any man crazy, more or less. Biggie, who somebody who Pac used to call a friend. So again, he's putting this in the liner notes, which is crazy to me. Let's continue. Thanks to Wendy Williams for being a fat bitch. Thanks to Mobb Deep for being Thanks to Mobb Deep for opening your mouth and letting me squash your no selling record asses. Let me stop there. Okay, so Wendy Williams was a popular gossip. I don't want to call her a columnist. But Wendy Williams was a radio personality who did specialize in gossip, and she talked a lot about Tupac, obviously. And this was before the internet. So, you know, back in the day, before you could tap in and jump on Twitter or something like that, you know, we had the Wendy Williams of the world who would, you know, in essence, spread a lot of gossip. I don't know specifically what she said about Tupac, but clearly for him to put her in these liner notes, he didn't like her. Let's continue. He mentioned Mobb Deep. Mobb Deep had a song dissing Tupac, which was a very, man, listen, if you go back and listen to that song, the beat on it is sick. Shout out to Havoc. But yeah, so they had a little beef with Pac, and he said, that they were some no selling rappers, which is not true, because Mobb Deep sold records. They didn't sell as many records as Tupac, but they still sold records nonetheless. He said to Dr. Dre for being a closet homo. Okay, here's the thing. Like, at this particular time, and we're talking, this is 1996 when he writes this, right? One of the worst things that you could do would be to call another man a homosexual. There was no politically correctness back in the day, right? So for Pac to say that about Dre, which he did go on record as saying, he did men's worst. He was upset with Dre after he left Death Row. So Pac had, you know, when Dre left Death Row, Pac felt like Dre was turning his back on Death Row, and he quickly became his enemy. So that's the reason why he said that. He said to Nas for not taking my advice and minding his business, to De La Soul for being mad at me for living well while they live like fat washed up bums. Okay, let's stop here. Nas and Pac had, I can't even say that they had beef. It's been documented that Nas and Pac had words on the Machiavelli album. Pac does diss Nas. And the word that we got was that prior to the album coming out, Tupac had met with Nas in New York City. They had some words. They were able to talk it out or what have you. And when they left the conference that they had, I don't want to call it a conference, when they left the conversation, Pac did tell Eric B from Eric B and Rakim, as well as a couple of other people, as well as the engineer, he said, remind me when we get back to LA to take that stuff about Nas off the record. So the disses that you heard on the Machiavelli record, Tupac actually wanted to take them off of the record after squashing whatever beef that he had with Nas. The problem was they met in New York City is when Nas and Tupac met up. Tupac never made it back to L.A. because he stopped in Las Vegas for the Tyson fight and the party and kick it. But after that, he was going to go back to L.A. and finish up this album. And he was going to take those disses off the album about Nas. And obviously, sadly, he never made it back to L.A. after being murdered in Las Vegas. So that explains that. He said to Donnie Simpson and all the comedians who laughed while I bled. Now, that was a little surprising to me because Donnie Simpson, as many of you know, Donnie Simpson, great longtime talent on BET, as well as radio in the Metro DC area. I've never heard Donnie Simpson say anything bad about Tupac, but hey, if Tupac said something about Donnie Simpson, then I guess he had beef with him too. He said to Jay-Z, King's son, Dookie Loke, whatever, Lil' Kim, or fat ass weave wearing Biggie short stubby dick sucking Kim for being nobodies. Okay. Pac had beef with Jay-Z because Jay-Z at this particular time was Biggie's man. I don't really recall Jay-Z saying anything about Biggie, about Tupac. He may have, I don't recall, but I mean, like at that particular time, Tupac was filled, is what old people used to say, filled with piss and vinegar. So he was going to shoot, not literally shoot, but he was going to verbally shoot at anybody that was standing near or next to Biggie and Puff. And that includes, you know, Jay-Z, King's son, Dookie Loke, whoever that is. I don't know who Dookie Loke is. Maybe somebody can tell me who Dookie Loke was, and Lil' Kim. He said, and he closes it out by saying, now it's time to see who's watching too many movies and who's ready to get they cash on for real. Wartime, worldwide, nationwide, citywide, real niggas do real things. Exit Tupac, enter Machiavelli. And that's the end of the liner notes. So as you can see, this was clearly Tupac writing out his disses for everybody. He basically said in the liner notes, like, these are the people that I have beef with, the people who tried to harm me, the people who literally tried to kill me, the people who stood by and said nothing, the people who made fun of me. I got something for all of y'all. And those were his words. It's to no surprise that these liner notes never made it to the Machiavelli album. But if it did, oh man, it would have set off a storm, even back in the year of 1996. In conclusion, I think this is interesting because, again, these are his words. And of everyone that was mentioned, as far as I can tell, the only person that he made peace with before he was tragically murdered was Nas. Now, I don't know how these people on this list felt about what he said about him, because there was never a comeback. There was never a, you know, and even like I'll use Jay-Z as an example. Jay-Z frequently shouted Tupac out on his records after Pac was gone. But I don't necessarily know that Tupac even cared for Jay-Z. We do know that he had beef with Jay-Z. But did Jay ever have any beef for him? We don't know. Nonetheless, man, I mean, that's it. That's Tupac and his words. While it is very harsh and very crass, it's Tupac. And like I said, he was filled with piss and vinegar. So he was going to say what he was going to say. And when did you ever see Tupac say something that he didn't mean? So if these liner notes were a big F you, then as far as Tupac was concerned, that's how he felt. And that's what it was. Ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for me. Thanks again for checking out this edition of the Rap Soul Podcast. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast. We drop new episodes every Monday and every Friday. Don't forget to check out our flagship station, the 12 Kyle Podcast. We drop new episodes every Thursday and every Sunday. You can catch the 12 Kyle Podcast wherever you're listening or watching this episode as well. If you're interested in merch, we have 12 Kyle Podcast t-shirts, hoodies, as well as coffee mugs. We got it for the low. Go to the 12 Kyle Podcast page, click the link, and you can purchase merch. Again, we got it for the low. If you're on social media, check us out there, 12 Kyle, 12 Kyle Podcast, Rap Soul Podcast. We're all across the board on social media. And also, if you'd like to contribute to the podcast financially, hit us up on Cash App, $TWELVEKYLE. Again, that's going to do it for me. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for checking out this edition of the 12 Kyle podcast. Excuse me. Thank you for checking out this edition of the Rap Soul podcast. I am your boy, 12 Kyle. Catch you guys next time. 5,000. Cheer.
Thank you for listening. This concludes the episode. Be sure to subscribe to the Rap Soul podcast. You can find the podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Follow the podcast on social media. And feel free to continue this discussion on our Reddit page. More importantly, share this podcast with a friend or family member who loves music as much as you do. Until next time, 5,000.